105.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce over there filling in for Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician, an addiction medicine specialist, as well as an emergency medicine specialist, and he also removes tattoos from inmates by the hour, by the lineal foot. How do they pay you for that, Bruce?
The least important factor that you're discussing. It's a combination of community
focus. To answer the goddamn questions, please. Did we have a discussion last night about you attempting to be entertaining? Here's how this show goes. I ask you questions, you then answer them. You don't do a long pause and then come up with some sort of half-baked comedic answer that only serves to confuse people.
And I also provide you some comedic relief.
Just how do they... Oh, forget it. Shut his mic. He's useless. Tommy Chong is our guest tonight. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, what's happening?
Nice to see you. Of course, Tommy, star, co-star of many Cheech and Chong movies, as well as solo projects over the years. We're going to tell you where you can find him. Well, I'll tell you right now, you can find him at the Brea Improv. That would be June 30th through July 1st coming up here. When the hell is that? What the hell's the date today?
I think it's next weekend coming up, Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
This weekend, yeah. All right. Yeah. So, and what... Geez, I got 1,000 questions to ask. Yeah, I'm 36 years old, so I was weaned on the whole Cheech and Chong experience, starting, you know, with the records back in junior high, and then you know, into the movies as I got a little more into high school and that kind of stuff. And I mean, I must have heard more of your bits repeated by classmates over the years than the Pledge of Allegiance.
We have, you know, infiltrated the minds of America.
Yeah, I guess that's...
Quite heavily.
Yeah, there should be a class action lawsuit. I'd like to spearhead that one.
Sure.
You know, and the thing is it, as I think about it, you know, it was always a lot of stoner humor. And I guess a lot of people might argue that, well, if you hear that when you're 13 or 14, you're going to be more likely to smoke weed. But I heard it. Well, wait a minute. I smoke a lot of weed. All right, forget it. It was a stupid argument.
Inoculation, maybe?
No, I mean, I heard it when I was, you know, 13, 12, 14, 15 years old. It never made me want to smoke weed. I didn't fall into that trap until later on in life. I heard it. I laughed at it. I understood it. But I didn't run out to the park to score a dime bag, or a lid, as we used to call it back then.
Yeah, well, you know... you didn't have to. You know, that was the whole point of Cheech and Chong, is that we were like the legal high.
Right.
You know, we would do it and then tell you all how funny it was.
And I know a lot of the records went gold and platinum, and a lot of the, you know, the movies are still big rentals and all that. Do you still get revenue from that stuff?
Yeah, you know, we have our lawyers that have to go dig it out, but,
but
you know, it's the usual.
Are you set? Are you good?
Oh yeah, I'm fine. You know, I got some, you know, irons in the fire, so to speak. You know.
Right, and that's just a continuous source. That's records, videos, sales, and all that good stuff.
More than anything, it you know, it keeps it fresh. You know, when I go like play clubs like Bray and that, you know, the people come out like crazy to see me.
Yeah. Now, do they want? What do they want? What does your audience want? Do they want the old Cheech and Chong stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like your REO Speedwagon, and you've got to play the hits from the late
'70s. You got to. I compare myself more like with Willie Nelson.
Right, yeah, I didn't mean it. No, but what I mean...
Like Willie, you know, Willie does the same show, and he has people complain about it, but when he tries to change the show, he has more people complain about it. So.
Well, I mean, we all know what it's like to go out and see some old band that was hot when we were in high school, and you're sitting in the audience, and the guy goes, all right, we'd like to play you a new one off the new album. And I was like, oh, Christ, I got to take a leap.
How much of Bob Dylan, he will not play the old stuff.
Oh, he won't?
No, he just pisses people off.
Really? Bob won't do it?
Well, he doesn't remember most of it, I think, is what it is. So you're out there, you're with your new partner.
My wife, yeah.
And your partner in life and also your partner on stage. And now you not only have a new partner, but it's a different gender.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
Well, you know, see, Cheech used to do all the women parts, you know. He wore the dress and the tutu.
Right. And, but he was still sort of a guy in that tutu, wasn't he?
Yeah, kind of, you know. I mean, there's questions about that. But, yeah, he was still a guy. And he was very funny. But my wife, the great thing about her being on the show is that other beautiful women hear about it and they come to the show. You know, they would never come to see me alone.
Right.
But when they hear that there's a beautiful woman doing comedy, whoa, they show up and in droves. And that can be very nice.
But except for your wife standing right there. So
oh, no, she's okay. I mean, she brought him there. You know, they're there to see her.
Yeah, but you can't swing, can you?
Oh, no. I wouldn't anyway. You know, I look. You know, I'm one of those old guys now.
What is
I can look and get off.
Hey, look. All right, let's go home. When did you guys, I know you've told the story a thousand times, but I'm kind of interested in the Cheech and Chong lineage. What year did you guys get together? And was it through music initially?
No, 1969, I was up in Canada. I just got fired from Motown. And I was up there working in a nightclub. There's a family-owned topless bar.
Were you evading the draft?
No. I'm Canadian.
Oh, I didn't know you're Canadian.
Yeah, I'm Canadian. Yeah, I tried to join. You know, I went to Detroit, and I tried to join. The best way to get out of the Army is try to join. Then they don't want you.
Yeah, they get suspicious.
Yeah, they're going, no. This guy's nuts. We don't want him. So I was up in Canada, but Cheech was evading the draft.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I remember someone was running from the man.
Yeah. Yeah, for some reason. Well, it actually wasn't evading the draft. What he was doing, he was a part of a secret army that was up there just in case the Viet Cong attacked from Alaska.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. You need to leave a certain amount of the boys back to protect the home turf.
Yeah, for some reason. But that year, you know, Cheech was the very first Mexican that I'd ever met, you know.
Oh, you're sure being from Canada.
Yeah, Canada. We never got him up that far. You know?
You still haven't seen a Jew, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've seen the Jews? Yeah.
Canada. Winnipeg.
Oh, do you? You get a lot of Jews in Canada?
Oh, Winnipeg.
I didn't know that.
Winnipeg. You go to Winnipeg, man. It's, well, one of the richest guys in the world is from Calgary, Belzberg.
Jew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. He used to have a pre-fire sale at his furniture store.
So you made a little money through the insurance.
When you talk about Italians while we're at it.
Right. Well, listen.
Are you Italian?
You say what you want about it. I don't even know what Bruce is.
Oh, you're Italian.
Bruce is 100% full-blooded geek, basically.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. It's the nicest thing you've said in the last 3
Thank
minutes.
Thank you. All right.
Asshole.
So you and Cheech, you get together in 1969.
Well, what happened, we had a topless nightclub up there, and the show was pretty boring. And so I was hanging out. Well, we had two clubs, an after-hours club, a jazz club, which I used to play at. But I never had a band at that time, so I was kind of on my own. And so I'd hang out at the topless club. It was a little more interesting. And I was working the lights, and the show was pretty bad. So I started writing skits for the girls to do, like old burlesque skits.
Right.
And then the guy that I had doing the skits with him, he quit. It was too much pressure on him. And so then a friend of mine named Dave, long-haired hippie, and myself, we started doing, the comedy.
Right.
And then we had a straight guy that we had hired, an actor. And the great thing about acting is that you can hire actors for next to nothing. You know?
Sure.
Like topless dancers, you know, they cost money.
But right.
Actors, you know, you can give them
You just feed them.
Give them a meal. That's it, you know. And so we had the straight guy. He would do all, like, the cot bits and that, you know. And then his wife found out what he was doing, so she hauled him away. And so I was looking for a straight guy. And then this mutual friend of Cheech's and myself, he said, well, I know this guy. He's pretty funny. He's real straight. And I think he'd work out. So I met him. I drove out to where Cheech was living. He was living in a little farmhouse. He was doing underground paper, you know, sort of like it was called.
He was writing?
Yeah, he was writing.
And so
I met him, and he said he used to act in L.A., and which was a lie.
How long was it from that point in 69 until you released your first album?
We released our first album in 71.
Oh, so it was in show business, a relatively short period of time.
Well,
between the time you guys met and the time you guys cut an album.
Yeah, well, I just got off the road with Motown. I'd been on, you know, I went through that whole system with Motown, so I knew what to do. I knew the, you know, cut to the chase, you know, come down.
Well, were you like a session musician or something?
No, I had a band. I was part of a band called Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers.
And
we had a hit called Does Your Mama Know About Me?
And that was, 68?
That was 67.
Oh, my God.
67.
Wow. I guess we'll just say the rest is history for now because we got to hop on the phones. But
sure.
We'll get more into this. And, you know, later on in the show, we can make fun of Nash Bridges, too, if we like. You know, the thing I find most annoying about that Nash Bridges, that horrible show, is they use the two actors' names, and it drives me insane.
What do you mean?
Like, they'll go, on the commercials, they'll go, coming up Friday on Nash Bridges, find out what Cheech and Don are up to. And I'm like, Cheech and Don?
Yeah.
This guy's a cop. He's not Don. Well, don't use the actor's name. It's distracting to me. You know what I mean? You don't suspend any of the illusion when you do that.
Network marketing.
Yeah, and the guy wears a canary yellow blazer, and he drives a 66 Barracuda with a Hemi in it. Or, you know, he's an undercover cop. I can't figure that show out. Pam?
Yes?
You're 30. What's up?
I want to know, how long is too long to have a yeast infection? I've had one for over 6 months now, and it's annoying me.
Wow. That's seems like a pretty good run.
Any medical problems?
I have diabetes.
Okay, well, that's...
So it doesn't?
Immunosuppression, certain medications like steroids, diabetes, will contribute to more trouble getting rid of the yeast infection. And then, you know, the usual recommendations, cotton underwear, there are various things like having yogurt and reintroducing an active culture into your intestines and secondarily.
Now, do you just spoon that up there?
No, or you can actually eat it.
Oh,
secondarily.
I see.
But probably these things have been done. They've tried you on clotrimazole or miconazole or fluconazole, one of the oral agents, or what have they done?
I don't know the name of it, but they tried me on a 3-day thing, and it's like it worked, but then it came back.
How about a pill that you take by mouth?
They tried me on that.
All right. Well, okay. What do you want us to do, though?
Is your blood sugar controlled?
No, not really.
Okay, that's the problem. Until you get your diabetes under control, you're going to have a problem getting the yeast infection.
Why don't you do that?
But can it develop?
Hey, get your blood sugar under control.
Okay, but...
Why don't you do that?
Because it's annoying pricking my finger.
Yeah, I understand, but they'll cut your legs off if you screw up, right? And don't you have to amputate or you screws your eyesight?
Right.
I mean, you got a 6-month yeast infection, for Christ's sake. That's not worth getting your blood sugar under control?
I'm trying.
All right, well, try harder. here's my point. I don't mean to be rough on people that have had a, you know, half year's worth of yeast grown between their legs and who have diabetes.
I hate yeast infections, man.
We do, too. As a matter of fact, with your help, I'd like to stomp out yeast once and for all.
Definitely.
Maybe we could do some sort of benefit gig.
People don't realize how it affects the man.
Well, one of the recommendations that I didn't mention is decreased orogenital contact. So, Adam, you can put that part of your... A part of your campaign.
I see, yes.
That's what I hate about it.
Yeah, a little yeasty on the peckaroo.
Yeah.
All right. So she needs to get her blood sugar under control and then take it from there.
Right.
Do that first. John?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah. I've been going out with my girlfriend for a little over 3 years now, and just recently I found out that the other night, it was like Friday night, that I had slept with her sister. Your identical twin sister, and now I don't know how I'm supposed to tell her that.
How'd you find that out?
Well, her sister came up and told me today when I was at the mall because I was just getting off of work.
Yeah.
I was going to buy her something for her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Where are you working? Hot dog on a stick? No, I applied for a job there. Do you know that? Where they wear those outfits, like a 60 stewardesses. You know why? Because they paid $6.75 an hour, and all the other gigs were like $4.50 an hour. But they don't hire dudes. See how hard it is being a guy? Hey, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was just gaslighting you. She didn't actually do it. She was screwing with you. And why would you tell your girlfriend anyway?
I don't know.
Okay, don't tell your girlfriend. But if it does come out, you didn't do anything wrong, right?
Right.
Supposedly, you slept with the twin sister not knowing it was the twin.
That's bogus.
Yeah.
Because they look exactly the same.
But was she under anesthesia or what?
Why did she do it? Why did the twin do it?
Well, I met my girlfriend through her, because I met her first.
Uh-huh. Was she the evil twin?
Well, they're both pretty cool and all, and I just, like, I met her first. And then I met her sister, and I started going out with her sister.
Yeah, but, John, don't say anything.
And paint the toenails different colors and different twins so you don't sleep with the wrong one.
John, don't blow a good thing, man.
Yeah.
Just act stupid.
Yeah, hey, listen. Hey, this is through no fault of his own. He cheated. I mean, he can't be blamed for this. But listen, guys, don't pop to this stuff. I don't know what that instinct is. Tammy?
Yes?
You're 30.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I'm calling because I'm 30 years old, and I've been married twice, and I cannot have an orgasm on bottom. I have never had an orgasm on bottom.
When you're on the bottom?
I can only have an orgasm on top.
Yeah. That's not bad. You're still well ahead of the game. You know what I mean?
I know, but my husband, he brought it up recently.
Okay. Why don't you turn the bed over?
That ain't gonna
work. They're different type of orgasms. They're clitoral orgasms. They're vaginal orgasms.
Are there? Doesn't it all? But you know what I'm saying. I mean, we've discussed this before. It comes out as an orgasm.
Now it feels different, though.
Does it feel?
Why the hell do you know? I'm a doctor. That's why I'm here.
Do they teach you that in medical school?
Well, you know, there are things they don't teach you in medical school that you... Some things you learn from your patients, some things you read, and then you discuss with your patients and you say, is this true?
Yeah.
In talking to women, they will tell you that there are different areas of sensitivity and that by clitoral stimulation, you will have a different type of orgasm than when a certain sensitive area in the vagina is stimulated.
Let's ask Tammy. Tammy?
Yes?
You've had vaginal orgasms and clitoral orgasms, right?
I think they're all been clitoral.
Right. So, okay, but hold on. When you're having an orgasm when a man's penis is in your vagina, is it then a vaginal orgasm? Or is it a clitoral orgasm because you're on top of him and you're stimulating your clitoris?
I think it's the clitoris.
Right. All right. Or as my grandmother corrected me on, true story, clitoris, not clitoris.
Well,
she was listening to the radio show. She's 84 years old. She pulled me aside 6 months ago and said, it's not clitoris.
Oh, doctors
love it. It's clitoris. And then, you know how people, they give you that retarded logic? I go, listen, I don't know. Hey, listen, you can pronounce it either way. And they go, we always pronounced it. I'm like, all right, you're an idiot. I don't care how you always pronounce it. So she said, a doctor friend of mine told me it was clitoris, not clitoris. And I said, what's Dr. Drew? I mean, doctor is his first name. He calls it clitoris. So we went and looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I didn't masturbate for 3 days after this episode. In the dictionary, it says you can pronounce it either way. So,
there you go.
The touche.
But doctors like weird print, like scalpel instead of scalpel. I mean, you know, when you have these really smart professors in medical school, they'll have bizarre
prints. Anything to make a few extra bucks.
Right. Can you turn that red against like
copper?
Tammy.
Yes.
Part of the issue is identifying that sensitive area intravaginally that you have. Well, wait a second. Your husband needs to take more time.
No.
And the position that you're in, when you're in the bottom position, you're not stimulating that area, and you're probably not also stimulating the clitoris.
She's not stimulating the clitoris. It's not that area in her vagina, or as I like to pronounce it, vagina. She is on top of him. She's rubbing her clitoris,
right,
or as Graham would say, clitoris, against him, and that's where the orgasm comes from. When he gets on top, she doesn't get that stimulation. No orgasm.
I thought that's what I was saying. But
well, no, you said you got to find that place in your vagina, but there, she doesn't have that place.
Oh, she probably does, and her husband hasn't either. Neither husband have taken the time.
How dare you? That is not true.
Yeah. I was just going to say that is not true.
It isn't true, is it?
That is not true. We take our time. We do what we can.
I know. Hey, listen, I don't know how this works. I swear to Christ, I was put on academic probation at a junior college and tossed out before I began carpet cleaning. I'm smarter than you and Drew put together. How does that work?
How does it work?
Why am I smarter than the doctors on this show?
Because you're doing future.
Thank you, Drew, because you have no instinct.
I got a question.
Yes.
Is there a weight factor involved in this?
There can be. That's a very good point.
Tammy?
Yes.
You a big gal?
Yeah, I'm not huge, but I'm overweight, yes.
I see. Tommy was probably playing the Tammy card. Most of the chicks named Tammy got a few extra pounds.
No. I was just wondering, why he didn't like,
So I have a question.
How much are you weighing in at, Tammy?
200 pounds.
200. And then you're 7'4"? How tall are you?
I'm 5 feet.
I see. All right. Well, and you're on top of him, huh? You're going to kill him. All right. Listen. Tammy, here's the deal. You're 30 years old. You have the clitoral orgasms. You're still ahead of the game because you can have the clitoral orgasm during intercourse. It's just
many
not in certain positions. Many people can't do that.
Right.
Thank you.
So I'm never going to have an orgasm unbound.
Probably not, but you're slapping fate and destiny right in the face when you talk that way. You really are. You are having an orgasm through intercourse, and that has put you well ahead of
the
group.
He thinks it's my fault.
Well, listen, your husband's an idiot.
Ridiculous.
And plus, he can't breathe.
You could still find, you can still be on the bottom.
No oxygen in his head.
Positions while you're still on the bottom.
So you might want to try some stirrups, too.
Yeah, that's true. You need to find a different way of being on the bottom.
You're overweight.
I love, thanks, Drew. I love it when the husband blames. Listen, honey, I'm sorry. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at your vagina.
Well, fault.
I'd like to talk to it in the next room. Slam the door. How dare you? All right. Well, listen. I swear to God, I don't know what the percentages are, but I would say less than half the women in this country can have an orgasm during intercourse, regardless of the position they're in.
Right. Depending
it's
on...
It's less than half, I would say.
Depending on who does the study, but it's a large percentage.
Right. Yeah. So, like I said, if you're having one, don't look that gift horse in the mouth. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Tommy Chong is here. We'll talk more to him and perhaps more about the pronunciation. We'll see if we can pronounce it labia or labia after this. This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Visit the Army Reserve Job Bank at GoArmyReserve.com and hear about jobs in medicine, aviation, or telecommunications. The Army Reserve Job Bank has many jobs in your area. Just plug in your zip code and you'll find listings for everything from PCs to MPs. Serve as little as 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. Learn skills that can help in college or a career. Sound good? It is. Visit the Army Reserve Job Bank at GoArmyReserve.com, paid for by the U.S. Army Reserve.
According to scientists who study this stuff, people blink their eyes 20,000 times a day. So if you're not careful, you could easily miss how fast GEICO Auto Insurance starts working on your claim. Often we can handle details in hours instead of days. And in just 15 minutes, or roughly 210 bats of an eye, GEICO could save you 15%. So call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO. You may blink twice when you see the savings. That's 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO Direct, the sensible alternative.
Remember what college cost in the early 80s?
Tuition?
Yeah, books, typewriter, room and board.
Well, yeah, a bundle.
Was it worth it?
Well, of course, every penny.
Get this, now it's over twice what you paid.
Well, Jeff, I don't have to worry about my kids' college bills for another 15 years.
Well, if costs keep hiking up and up, you'll be shelling out more in just 1 year for each of your children than you spent on yourself for all 4 years of college.
Ouch! So what do I do?
You better start saving today with U.S. Savings Bonds. They're easy to buy and afford and are guaranteed safe.
Mm-hmm.
And savings bonds earn a treasury-based rate of interest right from the start.
Wow. Where do I find them?
At most banks. Or ask your employer about the payroll savings plan. But whatever you do, start saving now, or you'll be...
rooting for a scholarship?
Exactly.
Imagine for a moment you're at a beach club. The lights are blazing, the music is raging, and the bodies are thrusting. Oh, yeah. Kind of sounds like spring break, doesn't it? Well, it is, and it happens every Wednesday night in your backyard. That's right, every Wednesday night is Dollar Drink Night at Club Cancun. That's right, whatever drink you want, you call it, you got it. For only $1 every Wednesday night until 11 p.m. at Club Cancun. Like dancing? Good. Club Cancun provides one of the largest dance floors in the area with a killer sound and light system. So if you're into the loud and wild party scene and like to drink for a buck until 11 p.m., then Wednesday nights at Club Cancun is the place for you. Club Cancun is located at 1638 Rice Street, just past Larpinder in St. Paul.
Want to impress her with a magnificent engagement ring, but your budget is limited? No problem. See Spence Diamonds in Roseville or Bloomington for the largest collection of engagement and wedding ring designs in the state. At Spence Diamonds, we've eliminated several middlemen. We import rough diamonds directly from Antwerp, Belgium. This eliminates one middleman. We cut these diamonds in our own state-of-the-art cutting plant. Another middleman gone. At Spence Diamonds, your ring is manufactured in our own studios. A third middleman gone. I'm Doug Spence, and because of vertical integration, Spence Diamonds can control quality while reducing costs. She gets a quality bridal set, you get far better value. See Spence Diamonds in Roseville or Bloomington for selection, quality, and savings.
Minnesota's leading bridal diamond destination, Spence Diamonds. In Roseville on County B2 near Snelling, right across from Rosedale Center. And in Bloomington on Lindale, just south of the 494. Shop weeknights till 8, weekends till 5.
Welcome to Best Bank's drive-through. Please hit send.
I did.
Hit the send button.
I just did.
It's the one on the left.
I know. It doesn't work.
It's the red button.
Can I get some service here?
Hey, this isn't Maury's Mazda.
Yeah, that's for sure. At Maury's, they listen. Thanks anyway.
Welcome to Burgers Galore. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'd like the number 4 combo.
The numbers are on the sign.
No, I want the number 4 combo.
Which 4 combos do you want?
You know, what I want is some service.
Hey, this isn't Maury's Mazda.
Yeah, no kidding. They have great service at Maury's. Good thing I'm not trying to buy a car from you.
At Maury's Mazda, we listen. Just tell us what you're looking for and we'll find the right car for you. That's how we maintain the top customer satisfaction rating in the Twin Cities. Take advantage of our special sale prices this weekend at the place where service is key. Maury's Mazda on 394 west of Plymouth Road.
Now, a message from Audio King Car Audio. It's no secret. Everyone's got to have the boom, boom. Boom, boom this. Boom, boom that. But it's also got to sound clear, right? Well, Marcia, that's where Boston Acoustics comes in. Snap a couple of Boston Acoustics' new competitor series subwoofers in your ride and get fanny-shaking bass plus audio clarity like you've never heard. That's crisp, clear audio. Not crisp like a toasted cheese sandwich, but crisp like my tear ducts are overflowing because this music is so pure. And this week only, when you buy any 10 or 12-inch Boston Acoustics competitor subwoofer, you get a free subwoofer box. That, my friend, is a $70 value. Not enough? Well, hold on to your love handles, because all Boston Acoustics car speakers and subs are on sale this week as Audio King explodes with its 4th of July savings, followed by their huge Christmas in July sale. That's two gigantic sales, one great store. Let's review. Amazing, technically superb subwoofers, and a free sub box. And all Boston Acoustics on sale. The question I ask is why you're not here, right now, adding some boom boom to your ride. Hmm?
Hey, hey, where'd you get that?
Audio King.
Hi, it's Billy of Zone 105, and these are the Zone Files. It's been nearly 4 years since the Wallflowers conquered radio with their breakout album, Bringing Down the Horse, but Jacob Dylan and the band will return to the airwaves this fall. The new album, Breach, includes first single, Sleepwalker, as well as the tracks Wasteland, Delivered, Hand Me Down, and the Elvis Costello collaboration, Murder 101. In addition to Costello, Frank Black, Tom Petty guitarist, Mike Campbell, and noted producer John Breon also make guest appearances on Breach. The album is due in September with a probable tour to follow. The Zone Files, from e-commerce from U.S. West and Alternative Classics, Zone 105.
I'm Brian Oak.
I'm Mary Lucia, mornings on Zone 105.
You've got to listen all week long. It's a countdown to fun on the Zone 105 morning show. For instance, you've got 2 days left to get yourself qualified to win that brand new Buell Lightning motorcycle we're giving away on the 4th of July.
Also, you have 1 day left to get your entry in if you want to go to the Classic Alternative Vacation in Cleveland.
That's right. You'll see the Go-Go's, the B-52s, and the Psychedelic Furs.
And then you're going to posse up at the Hall of Fame thing?
You and...
Oates is going to be giving the tour.
Hall's a little busy. But Oates is curator now,
right.
I think.
Right. Time to shut our pie holes now. That's too much information. Bye.
The most music in the morning. Brian Oak and Mary Lucia on Alternative Classics. Zone 105.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, and that is Dr. Bruce over there. He's filling in the beginning part of the week for Dr. Drew, who's in Cincinnati because somebody dropped a quarter. He's got to scurry over there and pick it up, but don't worry. He's hitchhiking back because that's free, and he'll be in here tomorrow night. Tommy Chong is our guest tonight from the, of course, legendary Cheech and Chong comedy team and many other projects, acting, directing, writing, and all that. She's coming on, I guess, 30 years in the business. Tommy can be found, along with his beautiful wife, at the Brea Improv. That would be, I guess it's Friday and Saturday, 30th and the 1st. Wait a minute, 1st and 2nd, I see. All right, this entire weekend at the Brea Improv. So go down there and check them out. And
we're also on a web page, too, you know, Chong Water Pipes. Actually, we're changing the name to Chong Glassware.
And glass. Is this a product or is this just a name?
No, it's water pipes. We make water pipes, and we're starting our own factory. And it's actually my son that's...
Really?
Yeah.
Is a water pipe and a bong are one and the same? Right?
No, actually, not at all. No, they're totally
not
different.
At all.
Not at all. No. A bong is used for illegal substances.
I see. A water pipe.
Water pipe is used for tobacco products. Only.
Right. Yeah. I understand. Yes, I smoked
or hemp
cigarette
too.
For a while.
It's good for hemp. You know, the good hemp.
Right.
Not the bad hemp.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you some water pipe. Safety tips or design tips, and not that you guys need any.
Son's taking notes.
He's done extensive research over the years.
He's the expert.
But I'll tell you, that base cannot be big enough or heavy enough. I have knocked over several thousand gallons of bong water in my short life. I really have. We had an apartment in North Hollywood where three, four guys lived, and we had this like novelty bong. The thing was, you know, it was like a Washington Monument. I mean, the thing was, you know,
like
4 feet
thing.
Tall,
yeah.
And, you know, 2 inches around, and it was like trying to balance a mop handle. It's like trying to get a mop just to stand upright on its own, like a Disney cartoon, you know? And as soon as someone would open the front door, just the wind from the front door would send the thing over. Mm. And bong water does not come out of carpeting very well at all. And it makes the whole place smell like a bong or a water pipe, I should say. So get a nice, big, heavy. I like to use a couple of sandbags. Or what I'll do, what I'd like to see you use, I'm talking to Tommy's son here, designs these. You know those cement bases they used to hold up beach, you know, patio umbrellas? Something like that. You know, like basically a wheel from the Flintstones car. something that weighed, you know, like 80 pounds.
You know what we'll do? We'll name it. We'll name it after you.
The Corolla. Yeah.
It'll be the
That's nice. That's right. No.
You looking for investors? I think here's you could have an investor designer, you know, somebody on the board.
Yeah.
No, not really. You know, investors, you know, they always want, like, returns and stuff on their money.
Well, he'd probably break enough of these things to keep the company solvent.
Actually, what, did we bring some?
Oh, did you bring any? You got to have some.
I told him not to. But anyway, we're gonna hook you up with one.
Here's another design tip. It's just these are all just coming to me. You know, in the fighter airplanes, you ever see the side of like a jet fighter, like a Navy fighter?
Uh-huh.
They have these big red arrows, and it'll be pointing and stuff. It'll say like escape hatch or
direction,
whatever.
Yeah.
Big one.
Do not step
carb
here.
To the carburetor.
Yeah.
Because people grab that bong, they have no idea where the carb is.
You're feeling
on the
all
thing.
Over, yeah.
They're feeling all over. Yeah. It's dark. The Jimi Hendrix is playing. The black light's going. Everyone's got a good buzz. They can't find the carb. Then some of them don't have a carb. They have the thing where you lift the bowl out.
The bowl,
and that
yeah.
works as a carb. Big red arrow to the carb. Big heavy sandbag base on the thing. And novelty bong is fine, but not the one where you put in your mouth on like a penis or something.
No,
you know, it's a big donkey schlong or something you got to suck out of it. Please, let me have my dignity.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I totally agree.
Right.
Although a woman's labia,
yeah.
they make a nice shape.
Yeah. All right. Richard.
Yes, this is Richard.
Yes, Richard. You're 24.
Yeah, I had a question for Tommy Chong.
Okay.
A long time ago on the radio here in Modesto, California, I heard a bit that was you and Cheech, and it was you guys saying something about who's Dave or where's Dave or something like that, and one of you guys was knocking on the door.
Oh, yeah.
I only ever heard it one time, though, and I was wondering if it was on an album or if it was just a bit you guys did.
It's on our very first album called Cheech and Chong.
Oh, okay.
1971. It's a yellow. Actually, it's on CD now. It's called Dave's Not Here. It was our, you know, it was our very, very first comedy record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, because I laughed for like 20 minutes after I heard that. I never heard it again, never found it anywhere. No one knew what I was talking about.
So you're in Modesto?
Yeah, Modesto, California.
Well, that kind of explains a lot, I guess.
I hear they're gonna take down the wall soon and let you guys out. You'll be able, you know, there's these things called VCRs now. There's another thing called a microwave oven.
Yeah.
They even have phones that you don't need to have a cord attached to.
Oh, there
it's
is.
Crazy what's going on out in the outside world, Richard. You got to get out.
It just sneaks right up on you, that technology.
Yeah,
great. Modesto.
Defend yourself, Richard.
All right, Richard, go get the first Cheech and Chong record, and or CD. CD, Richard, stands for compact disc. They're these little, they're machines that play these smaller records. They're hard to scratch.
You can probably get them at Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Thanks for the tip.
No,
all right, you catch the first donkey to Bakersfield. And get yourself a Cheech and Chong CD. Venus.
Yes.
You're 25. What's up?
Well, actually, I'm 23.
All right.
Okay.
That changes the
My
whole complexion of the
married.
Show. Yeah.
My husband and I have been married for 7 years.
Yeah?
Got married when I was 16. Good. We have 3 children together.
All right. Listen, I already don't like you. I don't even know what your question is.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think that's kind of strange.
I know, but you're one of those people. It's like, we've been married for my husband and I. We have 3 loving children. I don't know why that cadence drives me nuts. I'm just
why?
Being honest with you.
I mean, that is kind of strange.
Just go ahead with your question.
Okay. First thing I want to say to Tong, my husband and I have enjoyed your movies for ever since we gotten married.
Oh, good.
We've really do like your movies. We have
Thank
got
you.
All of them on videotape.
Okay. Do you let your kids watch them?
Hell yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, so it's a happy marriage.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
What's the problem?
Okay. About 10 months ago, my husband and I started getting this real downslide.
Yeah.
It's weird, okay? I pretty much do everything I can, but even though no matter what I do, it just doesn't get through to him. I'm thinking that maybe he's having an affair or something.
It's a 7-year itch, right?
Yeah. How old is he?
He is 25.
Yeah,
I see.
Actually, he's 27.
All right, now hold on a second.
He was born June 3rd, 1973. He's 27, yeah.
It's okay. A 7-year thing.
Yeah, but let me do some math here. You're 22?
23.
So he's four years older than you.
Yeah.
And you started dating this guy when you were 15 and he was 19?
We dated 6 months before we got married, so yeah, I was 15 when we started.
Oh, yeah. And were you pregnant?
No.
Why do you get married at the 16?
We fell in love.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
Where's my dad?
Yeah.
He was in the home.
I see. And he's
husband asked my dad for my hand in marriage.
Right. And to put down the shotgun. And yeah. is your dad a good guy?
Yeah.
You love him?
Yes.
He doesn't drink?
No.
All right. You just got married at 16, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Seems like usually when people get married at 16, women are looking to be saved from something.
Right. And if you listen to the show, many callers have that sort of a pattern in the family.
All right. But let's just move past that.
Okay, move past that. When you get married at that age, you go through some profound changes in your personality, and that's why the recommendation is to wait until you're 21, 25 to get married, because as those changes occur, people don't always change together.
Yeah.
So
now,
we also went through a marriage counseling session for 6 months before we got married.
It doesn't matter. The point is, wait
a minute, man. You had your learner's permit at the time, so you were able to drive, right?
No, but it's good that you do that. That's an essential thing before you get married. But
marriage counseling at 15, and hold on a second. Can you imagine you're sitting there with a marriage counselor? You got some chick who's wearing a retainer sitting next to her like a Hello Kitty notebook. She's doodling on a peachy folder, and it's like she's sitting there going, man, I'll tell you, the 10th grade is a bitch. You want to talk about pressure? I don't know if I can juggle this school, the drill team, and the marriage.
Listen,
oh,
in her defense,
I bet
she was quite mature for her age.
What kind of counseling are you doing? That's not a marital counselor.
She went to a priest. A counselor doesn't tell you what to do.
A counselor would tell you to wait a little bit longer.
A counselor would recommend that, but they've stayed married for 7 years.
All right, wait a minute. I think it's a priest. Was it a priest?
Yes.
Aha. Oh, you're so smart, aren't you? It wasn't a marriage counselor. It was a guy who couldn't get laid.
Wait a second. It's premarital counseling is what they call it, whether a priest does it or a formal counselor.
Yeah, but what kind of counselor is that? Like, you're nailing her, you better get married now. That's what the priest does.
Hey, he probably wasn't nailing her.
What does your husband do for a living?
My husband, he is in shipping or receiving in a fish factory.
And so who's he messing around with? Who do you suspect?
In a fish factory?
Who do I expect?
Yeah.
There is a friend.
Suspect.
Yeah.
There's a friend of mine who comes around a lot and really does touch him a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's who he's kind of like seeing on the side.
Okay, listen. This is a time to see a marriage counselor. It's a real counselor.
Yeah, real counselor.
You need a couple of things can happen. Sometimes in marriages, that are good marriages that last for 10, 20, 30 years or however long, there are periods like this that occur where communication's not so good. One person may think the other person's not interested anymore. And it doesn't mean he's having an affair. But there are a lot of feelings.
Let me wrap it up there. Venus, you get some counseling with him, all right?
You think?
Absolutely. We know. Willie, it couldn't hurt.
You don't know that he's having an affair, but you've got to sit down and see somebody, and he has to make the commitment to spend the time with the counselor.
My suggestion is give him a really good blowjob.
Can you do that?
I do that all the time.
I mean a good one. You know.
I mean, I give him.
Ben, you're cool.
Everything he wants.
He's not messing around.
Does his penis smell of fish?
Adam.
No.
No. He ships and receives fish. That's a lot of fish.
I give him one.
All right.
Every couple of
days. It's like, how could you ever tell if the guy was cheating?
The junk
smells like walleye already, you know? All right.
He's not cheating. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry. Get back into counseling, though. And listen, there's some issues here.
Right.
You don't get married at 16 unless there's some issues. And you got a 19, 20-year-old guy.
Odds are against things when you do that.
All right. Go to counseling. I'm going to go to the bathroom, and we'll be back after this.
We'll be right back with more.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
I guess I didn't see it right away, but the deal with a Rolling Rock 33 is pretty easy. I mean, break it down. Two threes next to each other in quotation marks. Six beers. Arranged just like you would have in a six-pack. But back in 1939, they didn't have six-packs yet. So what you're seeing on the back of the Rolling Rock bottle there is kind of a prediction or very Nostradamus-like thing. It's a prophecy, you know. It's foretelling, pretty clearly, I might add, that the six-pack is coming and that it's going to be easy to carry several beers at once. And I'll tell you something, this was not good news for the keg makers. It's all there on the back of the bottle. You just have to, like, just look. I mean, you know, maybe you just don't know how to concentrate.
Every bottle of Rolling Rock has a number 33 painted on the back. And while no one's exactly sure what it means, there's certainly no shortage of theories. Rolling Rock, a unique state of beer. Latrobe Brewing Company, Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Imagine for a moment you're at a beach club. The lights are blazing, the music is raging, and the bodies are thrusting. Oh, yeah. Kind of sounds like spring break, doesn't it? Well, it is, and it happens every Wednesday night in your backyard. That's right, every Wednesday night is Dollar Drink Night at Club Cancun. That's right, whatever drink you want, you call it, you got it. For only $1 every Wednesday night until 11 p.m. at Club Cancun. Like dancing? Good. Club Cancun provides one of the largest dance floors in the area with a killer sound and light system. So if you're into the loud and wild party scene and like to drink for a buck until 11 p.m., then Wednesday nights at Club Cancun is the place for you. Club Cancun is located at 1638 Rice Street, just past Larpinder in St. Paul.
With all the different options out there, are you having a hard time choosing the right wireless carrier? VoiceStream Wireless and Zencom will make it easier for you. You'll simply get more. Get more minutes for less with 600 anytime weekday minutes plus 1,000 nationwide weekend minutes for just $39.99 from VoiceStream Wireless. And now at Zencom, you get a free Motorola digital phone and free accessories with activation. Plus, with VoiceStream, you get free features like voicemail, numeric paging, caller ID, and first incoming minute free. Now at Zencom, you can register to win a trip for two to see the B-52s and the Go-Go's in Cleveland. Second prize is a Walkman, and third prize is a classic alternative CD library. Stop by one of Zencom's four locations, Crystal, Buffalo, Monticello, and our newest location in Champlin. Or call 1-800-863-5137. Some restrictions apply, new annual service agreement required. Credit history check. See store for details. All supplies last.
Thank you for calling Lee Apparel. This is Kirsten.
Yeah, I wish to speak with somebody about Mr. Buddy Lee.
Okay, now what's your name?
How many times I must tell you? Super Greg.
Super Greg?
The famous, fabulous DJ.
Okay, what would you like to talk about?
This little guy, Mr. Buddy Lee, they say you cannot bust him.
Yes.
Well, can you tell me what else he does so good? He flies planes, he races cars.
Yeah.
I will be the person to bust this little jackass.
I don't think you need to call him a little jackass.
Well, that no. This is what I hear. He's a scratcher. He DJ.
No, Buddy Lee's not a DJ.
Thank you. You're telling me something I don't know?
I want
to hear something? You listen. Look at that there. See that? Oh, you see that beat?
Yeah.
Okay, stop. Stop.
Yeah, he's just an icon for a brand.
Well, I'll slap him in his little icon face. Can't bust him. I'm going to bust him, and then I'm perhaps going to bust you.
No!
Watch out for the Buddy Lee Challenge, Fall 2000 by Lee Dungaree.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew, and this is his last night. Am I right?
For how long?
Ever.
You know what I mean?
Ugh. Oh, yes. Yes.
I'll bring coffee next
time. Dr. Bruce actually brings a box of Sweet and Low in here.
It's out of your kitchen out there.
Is it really? Is it really Sweet and Low? Or?
No, it's a.
Is that the way you carry it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have you think I'm snorting.
And you're snorting.
No, seriously. Do you need a box of how many Sweet and Lows do you put in a coffee at once?
Okay. How many
Sweet
and Lows?
How many sugars
you,
are in a Coke? I've had this conversation with me each and every night.
I put five or six in a cup.
Five or six Sweet and Lows.
Four.
It tastes bitter after one. How does that happen?
Is that good for a yeast infection?
How big do you roll a joint?
Listen, I just got back from Jamaica, Tommy. They roll joints over there. Holy Christ.
I bought $10 worth of weed there one time, and they brought it in an armful.
Yeah.
And so I sat there and I cleaned it and I rolled. It took me all day. It took me a couple of days to clean it, and I rolled the biggest joint ever. And I took it on a boat. We're on a fishing boat. And I asked the guy, I said, is it okay if we light up? He goes, sure. So I lit up this humongous joint, bigger than the movies. And I handed it to him. And the guy wasn't looking. He reached over and he looked at it and goes, look at this one, man. Oh, look at this one, man.
No problem.
Needless to say, we had a good time.
Yeah, the boat burnt down, but they had one hell of a time swimming back to shore.
Should we do the marijuana disclaimer now that we don't support smoking?
No, we don't mind that.
Okay.
But listen, you know, it's like anything. Just don't stay in high school, get your diploma, and then go out and become a drug addict.
But the thing is, hey, listen, if you do have a pot problem, this is the advice I got for you. Go to Santa Cruz. There's a surf shop there, man, that has the best connections.
Yeah, really?
I'm not saying, you know, I think it's called Santa Cruz Surf Shop.
Right.
The guys there, man, they're connected to everybody in that whole, you know, Humboldt County area, everything.
Man. Oh, they're growing pot in Humboldt County now?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
It was just a rumor. I don't
know. Anything else?
I had not heard that. All right. So,
masturbation. All right. Paper topic.
All righty. Marie?
Masturbation?
Yeah.
You're 15.
Yeah. Well, I'm 15, and I masturbate at the very least, like, 5 times a day.
Uh-huh.
I want to know if it's, like, normal or if it's, like...
5 times a day?
That's a bad day. What's a good day?
Like 8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do your own wash?
Yeah.
Like, do you stand next to the washing machine when it's on spin cycle?
It sounds a little excessive. And how do you determine what's excessive? It's how much of your time is spent doing something and how much of a focus.
No, it's really, here's how you determine what's excessive when you're teenagers. How much do your friends make fun of you? That's really how you know.
Oh, do they know?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
they do now, is what I'm saying. So tomorrow. No, females usually don't get started as early and as often as males.
So you wonder if there's something in her
place. Yeah, I wonder if there's something up. Were you ever molested or anything?
I wasn't molested. I used to get beat, but I don't know if that really counts.
Well, that could cause. Who beat you? Your father?
Yeah.
And where is he now?
He doesn't live here.
I see. And you don't have any contact with him?
No.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. When you have trauma in your past or there's something bothering you like that, that's a major thing. Self-pleasuring is something that is immediate. It makes you feel good, and it is a dangerous thing. I didn't use the word dangerous, but there can be problems in terms of that becoming a focus of where to go to feel good when you have something troubling or something bothersome in the past. So I'd say if you have something like that in the past, you're starting to focus on this type of self-pleasuring, then it can become a problem. When people get into things like sexual addictions or compulsive sexual behavior, frequently there are issues in their past, like some sort of trauma.
I think we covered that about a half hour ago. Marie?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so here's what you need to do. Don't worry about the masturbation. Do it as much as you want. Don't focus on it.
Right.
But focus on getting a little therapy for the father that beat you all those years.
Okay.
Magically, the masturbation problem will probably take care of itself. All right?
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Very good.
Yeah.
You translated what I said.
If someone had to. It's totally unintelligible before that. Kevin?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
You're 16. You sound fairly lucid for one of our callers.
What does that mean?
That means awake and bright-eyed.
Yeah, it's like 2 o'clock where I am, though.
Well, just able to articulate yourself, I guess. All right, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Virginia. Y'all are in California, aren't you guys?
That's right.
Yeah,
it's like a 3-hour time lapse.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right. So what's going on there, Kevin?
Well, first I wanted to say hi to Tommy.
Hey, how you doing, man?
How's it going, man?
Good.
Yeah. When I saw Up in Smoke, I was, like, on the ground laughing my ass off.
So was I.
Now, where did you see it?
I rented it And I watched my room, and I was just, like, on the floor laughing so hard. It was just, like, the funniest movie.
You just watched it alone, huh?
Well, I had a couple of my friends come over.
Wow. You got a VCR in your room?
Yeah, like,
oh, my God. I would have yanked my penis off if I had a VCR in my room at 16. But you know, here's what would have happened. My dad would have come to the door. There would have been blood going under the door. Oh, my God. And I would have just been there, rigor mortis, penis in one hand, VCR remote in the other, frozen.
What's different now?
Well, the difference, no, there's no difference. There's zero difference. But the point is it's 16 to have that kind of technology. We're all too old for this. You know what I mean?
No, you're never too old.
No, but what I mean is we missed it. I had a piece of bark with a charcoal drawing of a vagina on it I used to stare at. You know what I mean? I mean, could you imagine if you had a VCR with four heads and fast forward and frame advance and slow motion?
I had the nudist books that my cousin used to hide in his room.
Right.
For the medical books.
Yeah, National Geographic. I actually once had it to a raft box. You know the boxes the raft came in? A good-looking chick floating in the background? I mean, come on. You know how tough we had it, kids?
We were better
off. Daddy jacked off to a raft box. You understand?
Use your imagination back then. Nothing's left to imagination.
Yeah, forget about hiking in the snow like Grandpa. Daddy whacked it to a raft box. No, don't tell me about hard times. I wrote the book on it.
You want to get back to this?
No. Oh. Where was he?
Here.
All right. Kevin?
Hey, what's up?
All right. So, you love Cheech and Chong, and what else?
Do you guys actually, like, smoke in the during the movie, like, when y'all are acting?
Oh, yeah.
See, actually, we're high that during the...
In the beginning, you know, but then it started getting in the way. They would say things like action, and we wouldn't know what they were talking about.
Like, what about that one scene where, like, the cop comes up to you? Like, marijuana smoking?
No. That was movie smoke, but I know what you mean. You know, where he asked if he could eat the hot dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was movie smoke.
Well, did that dog actually eat the marijuana?
No.
And, Kevin...
That's the scary thing with teenagers, they take it all.
Here's the scary part. Did you see Star Wars?
What?
You didn't see Independence Day, did you? You must have really freaked when you saw that. The White House being blown up, Martians taking over the planet.
Oh, man.
Listen, Kevin, not everything you see in the movies is real. Even comedy sometimes isn't real.
I was listening to your show. Y'all were talking about, like, how you, like, roll joints in Jamaica and stuff.
Yeah. He's on vacation.
Well, we tried. You know, we tried to be real to the craft, but we couldn't do it. Because you have to do, you know, a lot of takes of the same.
Sorry.
All right, hold on a second there.
Hi, bro.
We gotta take ourselves a little break. I'm curious, and we'll get to Kevin's problem when we get back. I also want to know how much of that stuff was improvised on the spot kind of thing, and how thorough a script you worked off of to do those movies. Tommy Chong is our guest tonight. We'll get to those questions and many more after this.
Loveline,
1-800-LOVE-191.
Back in a minute.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
This summer, Rick's Cabaret is the place to be. Daytime or nighttime, Rick's is always jumping. It's your favorite bar with your favorite ladies, and now it's your favorite party spot with an awesome calendar of summer fun. Check out 2-for-1 Tuesday with some amazing exotic fun. Featuring 2-for-1 table dances from 4 to 10 p.m. That means you buy one, you get one free. Plus, if you stop into Rick's with the ticket stuff from that night's sporting event, you'll get in for free. Stop into Rick's Monday through Friday between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. for an all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. You can get satisfied in more ways than one at Rick's. Also, swing into Happy Hour every weekday from 4 to 7 p.m. and enjoy half-price drinks. Monday kicks off the week right. You'll find the Twin Cities' most eligible amateurs competing for cash and prizes on Rick's main stage. Wednesday is poker night at Rick's. For each table dance you get a car. That's simple. All you need to do is assemble a winning poker hand, and you can win free bar tabs and dinners. Work downtown in the service industry? Then you need to swing into Rick's for service industry nights, Sundays for great drink specials. Rick's Cabaret, conveniently located in downtown Minneapolis on the corner of 3rd and 3rd.
Well, it doesn't take any great vision to see what is the hottest business and communications opportunity today. A new frontier of commerce has arrived in great force. The Internet. Already, many industries are retooling at a frantic pace to allow their customers a more efficient method of making purchases. As is often the case, technological advances have created a shortage of people who know how to utilize the Internet. There exist excellent employment opportunities for individuals who understand the three elements of e-commerce: creativity, administration, and marketing. A local school, the Minnesota School of Computer Imaging, a division of Minnesota School of Business and Globe College, is now offering a new educational program, e-commerce design, to empower individuals with the knowledge of website development, administration, and e-marketing. If you'd like information about this new e-commerce design program, call 651-229-3600. That's 651-229-3600. Or check out their website at msbcollege.com and enter the new frontier.
How low can they go? It's Superstore clearance time. Going on now at Sex World. For a limited time, Sex World's dropping trow.
Oh!
With great deals on a huge selection of adult videos, main brand stuff, today's hottest superstars, full length, uncut. Three for just $19.99. Need more? Take four. Four packs of hot Triple X action are an unbelievable $29.99. Videos, DVDs, adult toys, and more. It's all gotta go to make room for the truckloads that are on their way. Lingerie, clothing, shoes, and sportswear. Something for everyone.
Is there something for me?
Yeah, even you, Granny. Sex World's got it, and it's priced to sell. Check out the deals on two packs of Sex Inc. magazine. Page after page of homegrown talent. The Real Girls Next Door. Two for just $7.99. With prices like these, they won't last long. Hurry in for best selection. Superstore clearance time at Sex World. 241 2nd Avenue North in the Warehouse District. Downtown Minneapolis. Sex World featuring live booth girls 24 hours a day. Is this a great country or what?
Yes, kids. It's the continuing adventures of Roofer Man. Faster than a speeding nail gun. More powerful than a big insurance company. Able to roof a three-story A-frame in a single week. It's a dark and stormy night in Minneapolis as Dick and Jane settle in for a good night's rest.
Jane, what is that?
It's a drip, Dick. We have a leaky roof. We better get the landlord on the phone, Dick.
This sounds like a job for Roofer Man.
I am Roofer Man, 9905258. Hello, good people. I'm Roofer Man. I can replace this roof.
But Roofer Man, our landlord says insurance won't cover this.
Sure not. Dealing with insurance companies is my specialty. Just stand back and let the Roofer Man do his work.
You were amazing, Roofer Man. Our landlord is happy because you didn't make him pay until the job was complete. And we're happy because you were fast and neat. Thanks, Roofer Man.
Think nothing of it, my good woman. It's all in a day's work for the Roofer Man. 9905258.
Zone 105 presents the Miller Genuine Draft Blind Date.
Before we proceed, be advised.
It's back. Large bands, small clubs, big mystery. Zone 105 will be at clubs all over the Twin Cities registering you to win a trip for two to the Blind Date in Los Angeles. Check out zone105.com for more details on where to go to enter the MGD Blind Date, a Miller Genuine Draft, and Alternative Classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
We're smack in the middle of the zone.
Oh, wow.
105.
Zone 105. KZNR Lakeville. KZNT Cambridge. KZNT Eden Prairie. This is Zone 105.
Yeah, it is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce over there filling in for Dr. Drew, who will be back here tomorrow night. Papa Roach will be in here tomorrow night, and Long Beach Dub All-Stars will be in here on Thursday night.
Oh, buds of mine.
Yeah, they're good guys. That's,
yeah, real good.
Yeah, they're real regular guys.
Mm-hmm.
Real regular. Tommy Chong is our guest tonight. You can find him over at the Brea Improv. That would be all this weekend, I think Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So go check that out. And, of course, you want to see a Cheech and Chong movie. They're all over the video stores. They're out on DVD now.
Oh, yeah.
Did you go back and do some narration and that kind of stuff for them?
No, actually... Universal took a movie we did called Next Movie, and they kind of screwed it up. Took out all the plot references and made it Looking for Diamonds. And I think what they did, they put it back to original.
So you can find that on DVD and a lot of the a lot of the Cheech and Chong records are in CD form?
A lot of them in CD.
How many records all
we told? Did, I think we did seven. Seven movies, seven records. The last one, you know, wasn't that great, so...
So would that have been eight?
Yeah.
And we were talking before we went to break about how so many of those Cheech and Chong movies seem to be scripted, yet a lot of the scenes felt pretty organic and improvised and yeah, that kind of thing. And how did that go?
Well, Cheech and I, you know, we had worked so much together. You know, we were together so much, and we're, you know, working like the... We do our records very organic. You know, I'd write down a premise,
mm-hmm,
and then we'd start, you know, playing around with it, you know. And the movies, actually, we're improv players. So what we do is set up. We'd write the situation,
right,
but we wouldn't write what we were going to say.
But now, didn't the studio want to see a script before they funded these things?
No, the studios, all they looked at, Up in Smoke, we actually funded that one ourselves.
All right, that makes sense. So then after the success
After success, they don't care. Whatever you're doing, you know.
Just keep doing
just
it.
Just doing it, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was interesting because, the first one you presented them with,
yeah,
you didn't present them with, you funded it. You funded that from the revenues from the records?
Well, there's a long story with that. You know that guy that sits with Jack Nicholson at the basketball game?
Yeah.
Lou Adler?
Yes.
Well, Lou Adler was our manager and the owner of the record company at the time, and we went to Lou and told him we wanted to do a movie,
mm-hmm,
and so he kind of put the deal together, and, you know.
What was the budget on Up in Smoke?
About it was about $1.2 million. It probably ended up around $1.2 million.
And you have any idea what that thing has grossed over the 20
you know,
years?
Right after it was out, it was like number one for almost a year. I mean, it was up right up in the top 10 for over a year. It grossed, I think, about $100 million that first year.
Jesus.
And then it's been grossing ever since, you know.
Yeah. And that was, what was it, late 70s?
That was 77, yeah. 78.
And so back then you didn't have the whole, sell it to Showtime, sell it.
Had nothing. Ticket prices were, what, $4?
Right, like and $3, no yeah, video rentals. I mean, none of that ancillary stuff that you have now.
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing like that.
Wow, that's...
Blockbuster.
That's,
and we were up against, what was it, Days of Heaven? No, what was it, the big flop?
There's been a lot of
Gates,
let's say
Heaven's Gate,
yeah,
Heaven's
the big
Gate.
Farm
Heaven's
extravaganza.
Heaven's Gate went out, and we kind of helped shoot that one down because we were number one, and they died, and they'd spent at the time $40-50 million.
Well, what, you want to watch these guys smoking reefer? Do you want to see a Sissy Spacek crying over a chiller? You know what I mean? I think America spoke on that one.
It did.
Kevin?
What's up, guys?
All right, so your question was...
Yeah, I was wondering, how long, sperm actually survives out of the body, after, it's actually, ejaculated.
I think the answer to that, and Bruce, you may know, but I think it's basically when it dries, it's...
Yeah, it depends on the environment. It can probably survive in friendly vaginal... mucosa probably up to several days.
Yeah.
So you could run into some problems there.
Yeah, or if you're like me, you whack off into Tupperware, you can probably get
a spermicidal Tupperware.
A good couple months out of an ejaculation.
So, Kevin, are you concerned because of a specific incident?
I mean, if you masturbate and, you accidentally, get it somewhere, your mom, walks in the room or something.
Yeah,
that
happened to me. I actually got my housekeeper pregnant when she tripped and fell in my hamper my 10th grade year. Poor Rosa. She had a child. I still support it.
At least that's what she told her husband.
The child is 22 years old now. Little Hildago lives with her.
Hey, yeah, that's my daddy over there, man.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about getting your mom pregnant if she grabs a tube sock or something, Kevin. But a good question. Coming from the guy who thinks all movies are real, by the way.
Yeah, question.
Hey, tell me.
Yeah.
Well, are y'all going to come out with a Cheech and Chong 2000, something like that, like a grand finale or something, like a ending.
We've been talking, you know, there's been a lot of talk. You know, they've been, we've been offered some pretty incredible amounts of money to do it. But Cheech is, you know, he's sort of committed to the Don Johnson story. You know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
What is that? I mean, what's your relationship like now with him? Do you guys, did you talk?
Well, it was kind of thawing out, and then I did an interview just recently for a calendar section, and I said that Cheech is a big sellout, so I don't think he's talking to me now for a while.
And I imagine, I mean, here's the thing I can't figure out about that guy. I understand if he finds Jesus Christ or something, and he's living up in Oregon on mm-hmm. a few acres, and he's left the Hollywood scene behind him, mm-hmm. or it just doesn't bode with his sensibilities because of some religious convictions or something. But he's doing Nash Bridges. I mean, it's not as if he's raised his art level. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not like Cheech and Chong was a step back for him. He's doing Nash Bridges, for Christ's sake.
No, for him, you see, you got to understand Cheech. He went to college. You know, his education kicked in pretty heavy. And, you know, he was meant to wear a suit as far as he was concerned. You know, he didn't want to wear the little T-shirt with the little watch cap.
Yeah,
he wanted to wear the suit. He wanted to be a leading man.
But I mean, if and I don't know where. I don't know if it's movies. I don't know if it's Las Vegas. But I mean, if you guys got together mm-hmm. and you said, Cheech, listen, I know some guys over at the MGM Grand. You know, we can work there 2 weekends and really clean up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine they'd throw some serious money your way.
We've been offered.
For a Cheech and Chong reunion.
We got offered a lot of money. We almost got together, but actually, I turned it down.
When was this?
This was maybe 6-7 years ago. We got offered like $100,000 a show, $100,000 a show, you know.
Really? And now why did you turn it down back then?
He wanted to do it, but he didn't want to do the little clubs first.
Right, he didn't want to work it out.
He didn't want to work it out. He just wanted to go grab the money and, you know. And
right.
But, and, you know, I mean, we worked the small clubs, you know, for years.
Right.
Years. And then I went back on, I've been back since 91, and that was, say, around 94, 95, something like that. So I'd put my time in, you know.
Right.
And I knew that if we were going to go back together that you have to put some time in, you know.
Right.
And he didn't want to do it.
Well, I would assume that one day in the not-too-distant future there would probably be a Cheech and Chong reunion, either via movie or on stage somewhere. It just seems like it's almost inevitable.
Mm-hmm. It depends. It depends. Well, actually, we did a South Park episode.
Oh, it was Cheech in that as well?
Yeah. In fact, I did it, yesterday? It's going to be on tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be on tomorrow, and we play Cheech and Chong, and I didn't know about it. They didn't tell me that Cheech was doing it, too, but he was recording his part up in San Francisco. I did my part here, and it was very funny, and I said, oh, Cheech is doing it, because they didn't tell me. And they said, you have a problem? I said, not at all. You know.
Did they tell him you were doing it?
Yeah.
And he went ahead and did it?
He went ahead and did it.
Oh,
and the thing was, he was his Chicano self, you know, because that's what happened with the act. He told me, you know, that he didn't want to do that Chicano lowrider anymore because Louis Valdez, this pseudo director, told him that it was detrimental to the Mexican people that he did that little...
He was selling out his Latino brethren.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I've always hated that attitude, you know.
Yeah, I did too. And listen, I always think it's a bunch of nonsense too because, first off, you're supposed to be funny. It drives me nuts when people just sort of hide behind that stuff. But it's like Paul Rodriguez is probably the most famous Mexican comedian, second only to Juan Valdez. And you know, Paul, I'd see the guy interviewed, and he'd be talking about the Chicano lifestyle, and being true to his brethren, and all this kind of stuff. And then he'd get out there and he'd pull up a switchblade and go, "I carry this, the Mexican Express card." And I'd think, "Hey, Paul, come on, brother, what are you talking about? You just make a living, everybody."
Well, they'd be complaining about not having, being Mexicans on television, and I said, "Hey, you guys got your own channels."
Yeah, you got your whole goddamn channel. And what about those cameras out by the border? Come on. You see that on Channel 5 every once in a while, the infrared camera?
Yeah.
That's not Mexicans on TV. I don't know what is.
Real TV.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Running to get their SAG cards.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron?
Oh, my gosh.
You're 18.
Yes.
We should really run for some sort of office. We really should, Tommy. You and I together with our political views.
I think I want to be drug czar. That's what I want to do.
Who better?
Who better, right?
Yeah. Aaron?
Yes.
What's up with you?
Well, first can I say that Tommy Chong, you're great.
Thanks, man.
And I think my favorite role you ever played was Red on National Lampoon's.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting a lot of
notice.
I love
that character.
Man.
What a great character.
Yeah. That was fun. A fun movie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Which movie?
National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, that was a great movie. And Adam, for you, I am sitting in my workshop, and sitting right in front of me is the airplane that I just successfully flew today.
Ah, a model airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's a hobby of mine. I pretty much did it because it gets the chicks. I love a guy who flies a model airplane. No, they despise it.
I was going to say,
yeah.
Really?
What do you got there, Aaron?
It's a Sukhoi with an OS-32.
Oh, yeah. What's the wingspan on that there?
It is about 50 inches.
All right. You need a little more engine than a 32 on there.
It's plenty of power.
All right. No.
2020 fuel.
All right. What size fuel tank you got?
It's about 6 ounces.
Oh, you're only going to fly a thing for 6-7 minutes. Okay.
You guys amaze me, you know, with the airplanes and that. I tried, you know, and I'd get so far that I'd get really pissed off.
And I'm building a one.
So I get my BB gun and just throw it in the air and just blow it away.
You're rich, you can do that stuff. All right, Aaron, so what's going on?
Well, like I said, I'm 18, and rather embarrassingly, I have a 4.5-inch penis.
Yeah.
And I'm 6'7", about 300 pounds.
All right. So your penis is about 2 pounds lighter than it should be, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And you measured it's 4.5?
Oh, yeah.
And that would be erect.
Right? Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough on a big guy like yourself.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah. Now, have you been with a few women?
Unfortunately, no. In fact, the one girlfriend I've only had dumped me on prom night for a fat black chick.
Oh, I see. Mm. Well, it happens, though.
No,
with everyone.
At the party, she, like, went upstairs before she dumped me and had her little fun and then dumped me.
I see. Well, you know, she probably wasn't marriage material anyway. She dumped you for a fat black chick on prom night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
you know,
listen,
I'm going to college this fall. I just graduated, and I don't know what to expect if I ever...
All right. Well, listen, Aaron, listen. Nobody knows you have a small penis until they actually see you with your pants down, right?
No way.
So don't walk around with the posture of a man with a small penis.
Yeah.
You know, you got to hold your head up, pardon the pun. You know what I'm saying? And women are pretty good about that stuff. They're more mature than men.
Okay.
You're going to have to double down on the oral sex. There's no doubt about that. But women will not hold that against you. Most women.
And there's strap-ons too. You know.
Sure.
So you can get any size you want, brother. Any color you want too.
Yeah.
How's your physical health otherwise? Do you exercise?
Yeah.
I don't know what your body frame is. Sounds like you might be a little overweight.
No. I'll be the first to admit I'm a little bit, but I lift weights and I'm huge. I mean, I've got a 52-inch chest. And 19-inch neck.
You're not doing steroids, are you?
No, not at all. I'm just, that's the way I am. And I don't even lift very hard.
Because I know a lot of bodybuilders, you know, that do have very small penises.
I'm not really a bodybuilder. I just lift weights to keep healthy.
All right.
And
yeah.
I'm huge. And it's, I don't know.
All right, Aaron, here's the deal. Forget about the penis size, non-factor right now. Your main size is a bigger factor. Some women don't like it. Some do. And you'll find one that does,
right.
And she'll love you a small penis and all.
And none of the penis extenders or any of those things work. They're all bogus.
And the good news is, though, is any guy makes fun of you, you can just kick his ass.
Yeah,
right.
And strap-ons.
I came up with an invention.
And actually, if you're gay, and your partner will really be glad.
With the strap-on?
No, it won't hurt as much, you know.
Yeah. I came up with the strap-on asshole the other day, which is when someone wants to break out the strap-on penis, I say, hold on, I'll break out the strap-on asshole. I might just strap it to the dog or the refrigerator. I can watch TV, and they can go at it.
Strap-on asshole, that sounds like an old...
Jake?
I won't go there.
Jake, you're 16, what's up?
I had sex with my girlfriend, and the condom broke. I want to know how effective the morning after pill will be tomorrow. We had sex yesterday.
72 hours. Do you have access to it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's very effective, and it's a matter of just getting to the physician and getting the prescription.
What time yesterday?
Around noon.
All right, so it's been a day and a half, right?
How old's your girlfriend?
16.
Okay, is there a problem getting the morning after pill?
No, I don't think.
What brand of condoms were you wearing?
Trojan.
Well, better write them a little note.
Yeah, write it, do what I do. You write it in semen, and then they use a black light to read it. It's great. I couldn't get my last name in. I just Adam C., and then I ran out.
You sent him the condom, too.
I probably should have just started instead of to whom it may concern. All right. Go get that morning after pill. You can go to Planned Parenthood, and they right. should be able to hook you up as well. But do it. Definitely do it tomorrow morning. Todd?
Yeah.
You're 14.
Yeah.
That's good. What's up?
I smoke weed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
14. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I just smoke it a lot, and I want to know what the long-term effects of that are.
Well, we have an expert here. He can't remember.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
No, when did you start smoking weed?
I started when I was 18, I guess. 18, yeah, something like that. 17, 18. There's not long term. There's immediate effects, you know. And if you smoke a lot, that means you spend a lot, right?
Yeah. Well, I just ran out of money today.
Yeah. Well, this way, you know, the problem with potheads that smoke a lot, they don't realize they're just wasting a lot of money because you're not really going to get much higher than your first toke. So if you're really smart,
really good.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. Don't be greedy about it, you know. I mean, it really is medication, and you should treat it like medication.
Well, you see, that's the thing I could never figure out either, which is I have half a bong load, mm-hmm. and I'm good. I mean, I'm baked, and that's it.
A toke or two.
Yeah. I'm stoned. You know, the joint goes around two times, and I'm stoned. And I'm not going to get any more stoned for about another 2 or 3 hours.
And you're not. And you're just fooling yourself. And if you do, you're really wasting it, you know. And so,
Moreover there, Todd, you're 14.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff you're supposed to be doing before you start taking drugs.
Yeah, and Adam?
Yeah.
Dude, you're the bomb, dude.
Yeah, but thanks. But listen, I'm the bomb, and I'm telling you, I wasn't smoking weed when I was 14, and I don't think it's a good idea. I really think you should get off it. And if you want to rediscover it as an adult, that's fine. But
at least quit to see that you can do it. You know, there's no adverse effects when you do quit. You start remembering stuff. Everything seems clear. You know, just quit just to see how you feel about it.
I haven't smoked weed for like 2 weeks, and then I did it again at night because I got some money.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That usually happens. You know, I think we're talking an addictive personality here.
Yeah.
So be careful, you know, at least just not alcohol, you know. Alcohol, you would have a problem. With weed, just walk away. Just leave it alone for a while.
Yeah. All right. Todd, it sounds like you're a little bit fixated on the smoking pot thing.
Yeah, he is.
Any family history of addictions?
Boy. Todd?
Yeah, I'm there.
Your parents alcoholics?
My stepdad was an alcoholic.
That doesn't count.
You know about your dad?
Oh, yeah. Listen, your real dad was an alcoholic, too, because your mom wouldn't have married your stepdad who was an alcoholic.
Well, I don't even know my stepdad, but my grandfather just recently got over drinking.
No, real dad, yeah. Okay, listen.
A little confused.
Todd, you have alcoholism in your family, right?
It wasn't like when he was young.
Listen.
It started like a couple months ago because his wife divorced him.
Oh, that's
nonsense. Not true. Okay, listen to me, Todd. You're going to be addicted to something. You already are, possibly. You got to keep an eye on yourself.
Well, I think a little bit of acid.
All right. Yeah, Todd, listen, you're going to need your brain later on. You will.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, Todd, seriously, let me just explain this. You're not a genius anyway. You understand?
Yeah.
You would have had difficulty going to college and getting a good job as it is. Now it's going to be next to impossible. I feel the need to give this speech just one more time. I do it every couple of weeks here. Here's the deal with drugs and people. I know we like to think that everyone's special and everyone's unique. Here's the deal. Some people are smart, and there's a lot of dumb people out there. There's a lot of pretty stupid people. I mean, go walk around, everybody. There's a lot of idiots. And that's what they call IQ. There's the people up there with 150 IQ, and then there's us and you. And that's people 100 range. Now, if the people with the 150 IQ, like Tim Leary and guys like that, want to do acid and weed and do as much of it they can get their hands on, fine. That knocks them down to about 125, still smart enough to get a job. But if your IQ is around 100 and you do a bunch of acid when you're 14 and smoke a ton of weed, you'll get knocked down to 75. Now you're a retard.
Or if you started.
And you can't get a job. And like I said, a lot of these guys would have difficulty even without the drug. Let your brain dry. It's still wet when you're 14. You can't carve your initials in it with a stick at 14. Let it dry. Stay off the drugs, Todd. Get yourself established. And then, if you want to do it, you're a responsible adult. God bless you. All right. Bruce, pick another call there. Thank you. Adrian?
Yeah.
I mean, like Tommy and Cheech, these guys have smoked a ton of weed, but these guys are smart guys. You know what I mean? I mean, you're an intelligent guy. God knows you probably would have come up with a cure from cancer if you didn't smoke that 150-pound joint in Jamaica.
No, we have. It is pot.
Well, there you go. Through
it's a cure, yeah.
Adrian?
Yeah?
You're 16. What's up?
All right. I had a question. If masturbation makes your penis any bigger?
No.
No?
Believe me, I know.
Really?
As much as Tommy knows about weed, I know about masturbation. Maybe more. Sorry if that offends you. But
unless you change hands regularly. You know?
Yeah.
You can do the switch. You're in
like,
shape.
I guess two, three times.
Two, three times, then, no. Will not make your penis bigger.
No. There's theories that have come up that it increases testosterone.
A good-looking girl will make your penis bigger.
Right. Until the bus door closes and it drives away, and then it will go back down again. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. Tommy Chong is our guest tonight, and we'll be back after this.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
Imagine for a moment you're at a beach club. The lights are blazing, the music is raging, and the bodies are thrusting. Oh, yeah. Kind of sounds like spring break, doesn't it? Well, it is, and it happens every Wednesday night in your backyard. That's right, every Wednesday night is Dollar Drink Night at Club Cancun. That's right, whatever drink you want, you call it, you got it. For only $1 every Wednesday night until 11 p.m. at Club Cancun. Like dancing? Good. Club Cancun provides one of the largest dance floors in the area with a killer sound and light system. So if you're into the loud and wild party scene and like to drink for a buck until 11 p.m., then Wednesday nights at Club Cancun is the place for you. Club Cancun is located at 1638 Rice Street, just past Larpenter in St. Paul.
MGD Blind Date, brought to you by Miller Genuine Draft. A huge show at a mystery Los Angeles location.
Yeah?
Only catch, no one knows who the band is until they hit the stage.
Hey!
Now, don't blow this. You win tickets, you've got a genuine opportunity to invite someone who is totally out of your league.
Huh?
Yeah, waitress, you're too afraid to look in the eye?
Oh,
yeah, go ask. Your roommate's sister? Hey, he'll understand.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That model from the underwear catalog?
Yeah.
Well, not her. She's probably dating one of the band members anyway.
Oh.
But that's the right idea. It's that huge. MGD Blind Date. Large band, small clubs, big mystery.
Cool.
Never miss a genuine opportunity. Next MGD Blind Date, July 18th, Los Angeles.
Listen to Zone 105 to win or enter wherever you buy Miller Genuine Draft. No purchase necessary. Must be U.S. resident, 21 or older. Void where prohibited. See official rules for details. Sweepstakes ends July 15th. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And now, a message from Audio King Car Audio. It's no secret. Everyone's got to have the boom, boom. Boom, boom this. Boom, boom that. But it's also got to sound clear, right? Well, Marcia, that's where Boston Acoustics comes in. Snap a couple of Boston Acoustics' new competitor series subwoofers in your ride and get fanny-shaking bass plus audio clarity like you've never heard. That's crisp, clear audio. Not crisp like a toasted cheese sandwich, but crisp like, my tear ducts are overflowing because this music is so pure. And this week only, when you buy any 10 or 12-inch Boston Acoustics competitor subwoofer, you get a free subwoofer box. That, my friend, is a $70 value. Not enough? Well, hold on to your love handles, because all Boston Acoustics car speakers and subs are on sale this week as Audio King explodes with its 4th of July savings, followed by their huge Christmas in July sale. That's two gigantic sales, one great store. That's your view. Amazing, technically superb subwoofers, and a free sub box, and all Boston Acoustics on sale. The question I ask is why you're not here, right now, adding some boom boom to your ride. Hmm?
Hey, hey, where'd you get that?
Audio King.
Welcome to Best Banks Drive Through.
I did.
Hit the send button.
I just did.
It's the one on the left.
I know. It doesn't work.
It's the red button.
Can I get some service here?
Hey, this isn't Maury's Mazda.
Yeah, that's for sure. At Maury's, they listen. Thanks anyway.
Welcome to Burgers Galore. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'd like the number 4 combo.
The numbers are on the sign.
No, I want the number 4 combo.
Which 4 combos do you want?
You know, what I want is some service.
Hey, this isn't Maury's Mazda.
Yeah, no kidding. They have great service at Maury's. Good thing I'm not trying to buy a car from you.
At Maury's Mazda, we listen. Just tell us what you're looking for and we'll find the right car for you. That's how we maintain the top customer satisfaction rating in the Twin Cities. Take advantage of our special sale prices this weekend at the place where service is key. Maury's Mazda on 394 west of Plymouth Road.
Zone 105 has been sending winners all over the world on alternative classic vacations. Now, it's time we sent you somewhere a little different. Zone 105 wants to send you on an alternative classic vacation to experience Cleveland.
Cleveland? That's what it says here. Cleveland. All right.
You're going to see the B-52s, the Psychedelic Furs, and the Go-Go's at the Blossom Music Theater. Then, we're going to send you to see the Indians play the Pirates in a sold-out game in Jacobs Field. Not only that, but we'll round out the trip with passes for you to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hey, everybody! Let's play tonight! I know what'll kickstart this party! Who wants to see me turn my boxers into a thong?
To register, just email, fax, or send Zone 105 a postcard with your 3 favorite Zone artists. Friday morning, Brian and Mary will pick a winner at random. Experience Cleveland with the B-52s, the Psychedelic Furs, and the Go-Go's. From CENTCOM, Northwest Airlines, sending Minnesota to over 750 cities worldwide, and alternative classics. Zone 105.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Dr. Drew will be in tomorrow night, back from wherever hell, I guess, is where he was at. Long Beach Dub All-Stars will be in here a little bit later on this week. We have Tommy Chong in here tonight. You can see him all this weekend at the Brea Improv. Also, you can check out some of his son's work on chongglass.com. They make water tobacco pipes, apparently. much more pleasant way of smoking a cigarette is via the water tobacco pipe. And also, and I don't know what the affiliation is, but I'm going to say SantaCruzSurf.com.
They'll be carrying some of our water pipes.
I see. And where are these water pipes actually manufactured?
They're going to be, well, right now they're being made in Seattle.
Oh, really?
But we're bringing the guy down here. We're starting our old factory right here in L.A.
And are most of them glass?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah, glass is the best. And I make I carve wood pipes myself, like, and I make bamboo pipes. And,
you do?
Yeah, but mine are very expensive, you know, because they're one of a kind.
Right.
Tommy Chong pipes. And
that's an interesting little sideline.
It is. It's great because you test them out and then you're screwed for the day. You know?
How much how much would one of your bamboo go for?
I'm going to start around $1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you got to be pretty high to buy one.
No, I'm pretty rich.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I mean, that'd be a cool item to pull out. You got a Chong.
And the thing is, the more you ask for them, the more valuable they are. You know,
sure.
People, so.
And then you know, one day when you pass away, that Chong Bong
that
you paid a grand for is going for $1.5 million at Sotheby's.
At least. I'm going to do $1 million pipe, you know.
Yeah. And let me ask you, when you do a bamboo bong, what's on the bottom? Is that the bamboo that blocks the bottom off?
Very natural. It has a very natural thing.
Yeah, it has like they have shelves built into them, like every foot and a half or something like that.
It's as if God said, you know what, this would make a great bong, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, God invented.
You can put them all together. I bought a Chinese water pipe. You know, they go back centuries in China. You know, and so I collect old opium pipes.
No, but so does Dr. Drew. It's interesting. It's not. No, he doesn't.
Oh,
I just made that up. He collects old freebase pipe. Actually,
Have you ever freebased?
No. Wait a minute. Yeah, I have.
You did?
Yeah. One time when I was living in an apartment in North Hollywood. Oh, Jesus. I really should have killed myself at least 10 times by now. I was living in my North Hollywood apartment, my one bedroom with my three roommates. I was probably 18 or 19. I had a friend who worked a graveyard shift, and I worked construction. So as I was getting out of bed at 6:15 in the morning, he'd be rolling in. You know, he'd get in at like 5:45 or whatever. Yeah. One morning, I walked into the kitchen, and he's sitting with another guy who he worked with at the print factory. They both worked at graveyard shift, and they're freebasing at the kitchen table at like 6:30 in the morning. I mean, I'm in my underpants with an erection, and I came stumbling into the kitchen, and they were just sitting there freebasing.
So you tried it?
Yeah, and I was like, hey, what's up? And they're like, hey, Adam, that's Stu. He works the main press. Hey, yeah, nice to meet you. Hey, you want a freebase? And I was like, all right. It was a smoking also out of like a rubber gas pipe from the garage or something. God knows.
Brain damage.
Yeah, God knows what. I really could have done something had I not
Did it work that day?
That was the one time I did it. It didn't do too much. I just went to work. I don't know.
I've managed to stay away from all that stuff. I had too many friends that were like junkies, you know, and I look at them and go, you know, I don't think I want to, you know, sit there with my nose running. And,
well, I mean, here, you know, I have the same feeling about, you know, rock cocaine as I do about heroin and just a few other drugs, which is, here's your two alternatives. It's one of two things could happen. You could vomit or maybe have a seizure and die, or you could really get off on
Either way,
it's bad. I mean, I wouldn't want to do a free base rock or heroin and go, my God, I love this. This is the greatest thing ever.
Exactly.
I mean, you're screwed, right?
Yeah.
So I figure just to leave it alone. So except for that one time,
when you probably just inhaled some.
I was probably just smoking like vulcanized rubber.
How about you? Have you done acid?
Nope.
Bruce, you sold rock in college, didn't you?
Yeah, it was my rock collection, I think.
Because I was getting dental work done, and I went up to UCLA, and I went in there, and I caught a couple of doctors shooting each other up.
Really?
Yeah. I went up there because I had to go up there on a Saturday, and I walked in, and they were going to look at my implant. It was the first one, and it wasn't working. And I walked in, and one guy's got his pants around his knees. The other guy's pumping them up.
Doctors have a high risk of addictive problems. Certain physicians. And
what do you think? What do you think it was, heroin?
It was some derivative. It was
fentanyl.
An opiate.
Yeah,
opiate.
Probably fentanyl.
Fentanyl or addictive.
quite a bit of abuse.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, imagine when you got the keys to the candy store.
I was one of those people. Oh, yeah. No, I do addiction medicine.
Oh, that's right.
But I was one of those people that couldn't handle the IQ points were just enough in a sober state to get.
Well, you went to Loma Linda University, right?
That's getting to be a favorite school of yours, I guess.
Yeah, and my cat graduated from that university.
It's actually a very good medical school.
I'm sure it is. John?
Yes?
You're 15. What's up?
I have a lump. Like, it's in my ball sack. And it looks like another testicle, sort of. But, like, if I apply pressure to it, it feels like something's draining out of it.
Mm. Okay. That's your soul, by the way, that's drained.
Oh, dang. That's
yeah. You don't need it.
Oh, yeah. Who needs a soul?
Yeah.
You can do what your doctor would do. You can apply a flashlight to it and see if it transilluminates if the light goes through it.
Really?
Hydroseal will allow light to go through it.
Hydroseal
with blood.
Well, that sounds pleasant.
I tried that with a lantern once. It was a big mistake. Oh, my God, was that painful.
Yep.
Caught the barn on fire. It was horrible.
Hopefully the doctor will
You set your scrotum on a flashlight?
I don't do that to myself.
But one
yeah.
good?
Yeah.
Really?
Actually, you have a flashlight that's part of your otoscope set, and you can just look right through it.
I see. What are you going to see?
Well, if it's a hydrocele, if you have clear fluid, then it would transilluminate, and varicocele, which would have blood,
would do solid.
So as well. You could have a solid mass, which you'd have no transillumination. You could have a small hernia. Some hernias go into the sac. So it's something that you have to have examined. It doesn't sound like it's a tumor, but it sounds like it's probably a hydrocele or a...
Yeah, because if it was a tumor, it wouldn't drain when he squeezed it. But, John, you got to get it checked out.
Okay.
And I know you're 15, you don't have a lot of use for your nuts, but later on in life, some woman's going to need to kick them around, and you're going to need them.
Yeah.
You understand?
The spaghetti worm-like epididymis that sits back. There's a lot of things. It's important to have the exam, and that'll be pretty easy to diagnose.
All right.
This is a good one.
Oh, it is? Well, hold on a second. Okay. Russell.
Yeah.
You're 14. What's up?
I met this girl about a month ago, and...
Hold on. Hey, Russell, what's going on in the background there?
Oh, that's the radio.
All right, turn it down, please.
Or at least turn it to our station.
It is on your station.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's just like 30 seconds behind.
Okay,
yeah.
Turn it down, man.
All right, and,
Thank you. All right, Russell. Oh, boy, are you hideous. Jesus Christ.
No, and we're in love with each other, but she lives in Bakersfield.
Wait, start from the beginning now.
I met this girl about a month ago, and we, started going on dates, and we were in love with each other, when we called each other and everything. And but she lives in Bakersfield, and I live in Fresno, so it's kind of a long-distance thing.
Yeah.
And she has a problem with the trust issue. Like, she, doesn't really want to get serious because... of the whole long distance thing, and I have no problem with that, but the only thing is I'm sleeping with one of her friends.
So this trust thing is totally unfounded, is what you're saying.
Well,
right? There's no merit whatsoever.
I want to be with her, but then again, I mean...
Right. All right. Hey, listen, Russell, forget about this long distance relationship. You're 14, please. What are you going to ride your big wheel out to Bakersfield?
Stay with the friend.
Yeah, that's it. Stay with the friend.
So how
listen, no, no.
14,
no,
he's that, sleeping around. This guy's got some serious problems.
Russell's just wanting to crow about his success in the sack.
Okay.
He doesn't have a real question. Hey, of course, you can't carry on a relationship at 14.
No, but
someone lives in another part of the state.
But if you're Fresno and Bakersfield, I think 14 is equivalent, to
28. Let me check the chart. Yeah. Redlands is 36. Fresno is 31, and Bakersfield is you're dead.
Yeah.
You actually died 4 years ago.
I mean, 14-year-old farmer. The guy's been working since he's 8.
Oh know. Yeah, it's like a dog years.
Yeah,
yeah. He's seen a lot. If Vietnam was hell. He's been working the soil for many years.
And where's North Hollywood on this illustrious scale of yours?
North Hollywood, you hit 15 and then you stay in a holding pattern. You never
right,
you never advance.
You got some friends, and then you go over the mountain.
That's right.
You're lucky.
It's right. The sunset.
Yeah, that's a big deal when you're in North Hollywood. There's this Laurel Canyon. If you know someone who lives on the other side of that hill, you're gold.
I know Frank Zappa's friend.
Yeah. He's up on Woodrow Wilson, man. We can go up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brian? Oh, hold on a second. I got to punch you. I have a little contact guy with Tommy here.